Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Mike McKinley is the senior pastor of Sterling Baptist Church in Virginia, and he's applied his master's in theology to answer questions around Satan's power over our world, as one of the authors commissioned by the Good Book Company in the UK to answer questions Christians ask. Did the devil make me do it? Mike, welcome to Open House. The devil, Satan, the power of darkness. Where did Satan come from, and where is he now?
Yep, those are two big questions. You know, honestly, the first time we see the devil in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3, where we see the serpent tempting Adam and Eve in the garden and urging them to disbelieve the word of God. In Revelation 12, we see confirmation, in case there's any doubt, that in fact that serpent is in fact Satan. In terms of where he came from, we know that he disguises himself as an angel of light, according to 2 Corinthians. So he's a created being. We know that some angels rebelled against God, and seemingly at some point God cast those angels out of heaven, and so Satan is one of those rebellious and disobedient angels who was cast out. So in terms of where he is now, you know, Scripture tells us that he has authority in the realm of demons. He's spoken of as the leader of demonic forces. And so, yeah, that's kind of the picture. We see him sort of a created being roaming the earth, leading the demonic forces in sort of opposition to God and his people.
Mike, without endeavoring to turn this into an Inception the movie kind of conversation, man was given the choice of choosing the advice of God, the Creator, or the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Where did the choice of Lucifer, the angel, to do something other than serve God in heaven come from?
Yeah, so this is, you mentioned the movie Inception. So this is the one sort of granddaddy of them all when it comes to theological conundrums. Where did evil come from?
So yeah.
Very clear that God is good and cannot and will not do what is evil. But it's also very clear that God is in control of all things and created all things. And so the question of where evil came from is one of those that we'll just never fully understand. We can outline what Scripture teaches, which is, as I mentioned, that God's in control and that he ordains all things, but he's himself not responsible for evil. So Satan's evil came from within himself. So he was not tempted and led astray like Adam and Eve were, because he didn't have a tempter himself, but he produced sin and deceit from within himself. So in John chapter 8, Jesus says that he's been a liar from the beginning and a murderer. So but where exactly that evil came from, at that point, even the greatest theologians, of which I'm not one, have to scratch their head and say, this is a mystery.
Well, that's frustrating, my friend. I was sure we were going to get the answer to that question in this conversation. What a letdown.
Sorry to be the one to break that news to you.
Okay, let's move forward then. And that goes to the power of the devil to create. If the devil was able to generate an evilness inside himself, does the devil have a power to create an environment here on earth?
It does seem like Satan has certain powers and certain authority. So he's referred to as the prince of the powers of the air. Jesus even speaks to Satan as one having authority, in these realms. But it's clear that's a derived authority. That's an authority that's been given to him. If you look in the book of Revelation, John is describing his visions of the beast and that come up out of the sea and earth and of the great dragon. At every point he says, authority was given to them to do whatever it is they're doing. And so even the power that they have is only by God's permission that they have it. But Satan certainly has the power to affect things here on earth.
Well, here's the frustrating question for me. It's not so much where did evil come from, but why did we here on earth get lumbered with him?
Yeah, that is the frustrating question. And honestly, why do so many of us align ourselves with Satan every day? And why do so many of us, even who are believers in the Lord Jesus, sometimes fall prey to his temptations and schemes? So in terms of why God allowed Satan to come to earth, You can only look at the questions the Book of Job raises and say these are the right kinds of questions to be asking. Why do people suffer from satanic affliction? And you know, ultimately, I think the answer to that is we don't know, but we see something of God's answer at the cross of Jesus Christ, where He Himself steps in our place and takes the curse for our sin on Himself. And so, in God's providential plan, His wisdom was to allow this to happen and then to save us through His Son.
Mike, is the default position of mankind to be possessed by the devil? In other words, if we choose not to be a believer in Christ, is our destiny automatically to be ruled by a power of darkness?
I think so. I think if you look at the pictures that Scripture uses to describe the state of mankind outside of Christ, Paul in Ephesians 2, for example, says that we were dead in our sins. Jesus Himself says that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He describes his ministry as coming like a strong man, or coming as one to release the captives being held by a strong man. And so I think that's the picture that we see oftentimes in Scripture, is a sort of helplessness on the part of mankind outside of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about how the god of this world, and here he's speaking of Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from beholding the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so there is that sense in which we're blind, we're bound, we're dead apart from Christ. And so, I think that's an appropriate way to speak about Satan's power.
So the truth is agnosticism doesn't exist as a choice.
No, certainly not. I mean, Romans 1 says that we all have knowledge of God through what He's created, and we're either suppressing the truth in unrighteousness so that we can live however it is that we want to live in rebellion against God, or we're those who have been justified by faith. So those are really the only two options.
Let's have a look then, Mike, at what demon possession actually looks like then. It would be your contention, given what you just said, that demon possession may not necessarily be the traditional Hollywood perspective, with heads spinning around and green stuff flying everywhere. It could be something much more benign.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that fits the biblical picture. So I think there are a few more dramatic examples of demon possession in Scripture, where you see someone having fits and throwing themselves into a fire or something like that. But most of the pictures of demonic oppression in Scripture would be, excuse the term, a little more ordinary seeming. You see people that are possessed by demons simply behaving wickedly. So, for example, when Satan enters into Judas and he goes and carries out his plan to betray Christ, there's nothing sort of strange, and there's no green vomit spewing from his head or anything like that. You see physical symptoms. There's a boy with epilepsy is spoken of as being oppressed by demons, or a man who's unable to speak, or someone who's blind and unable to speak. And so it seems that sometimes just some very physical manifestations of demonic influence that maybe we wouldn't identify as such.
Mike, you've opened a contentious door in citing what appears to be epilepsy, and in some other areas of the Bible, mental illness. How do we divine the difference between a physical ailment that we are afflicted with, or a chemical or a biochemical imbalance, versus what is a demonic possession?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it may be possible that mental illness or demon affliction may actually manifest in similar circumstances, and so we may not be able to say with certainty. I think the authors of Scripture, so some people have explained away the idea of demon possession as we see it in Scripture by saying this is just sort of a pre-modern way of describing what we would call epilepsy or mental illness. But the authors of Scripture understood a difference between medical diagnoses and demon oppression. So in chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel, it says that news about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain and the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. So it seems that Matthew was able to identify a distinction between people who were suffering just physical illnesses, and those who were giving some picture of demon possession. And second of all, I think when Jesus, when we see him casting demons out of people, they their symptoms go away. So either Jesus is accidentally healing people of their mental illness while thinking he's casting out demons, or in fact, demons really were their problem, and it wasn't a mental illness, if that makes sense.
What then is your perspective, Mike, on the way Hollywood and TV producers portray the devil, Satan, and his work on Earth?
Yeah, I think on the whole, it's pretty unhelpful. So certainly, as you see evil presented in popular television, it's not shown in a sort of sense of rebellion against God. It's not shown with any theological nuance, but it tends to be just a sort of spectacle for titillation. And so it's easily sort of engaged with and then sort of put away in a safe, you got to turn the TV off or the movie's over and that's behind you. And so I think in many ways it just trivializes what is actually, to look at the picture in the book of Revelation, a spiritual war going on sort of behind the scenes of the universe. And so to make it into a short television program that, we can watch and be perhaps a little scared for a little while, but then go back about our lives is pretty harmful.
Mike, there's a whole bunch of stuff around the games that Satan is playing on us right now, whether we like to admit it or not, that we haven't had a chance to touch on. Let's finish, though, on what you would like us to understand after reading your book about the nature of the spiritual war zone that we're living in right now and how we can overcome it.
Yeah, I think that's... that's a great question. I think it involves vigilance and awareness of the presence of the devil. So I think if you don't know that you're in the middle of a spiritual battle, and if you don't know that you have an enemy prowling around like a lion looking to devour you, then it's very likely that you won't be prepared. But if you wake up each morning and are aware of the fact that you do have a spiritual enemy and that this... spiritual enemy will be sending flaming arrows at you, to use one picture in scripture, or again, prowling around like a lion, then you can be cautious and prepared. So temptation, Paul talks about the schemes of the devil in Ephesians 6:11, that we should be prepared for those. And so entering each day, you need to know that Satan is a schemer and a plotter and is working against your joy and your faith in God. And so you need to be prepared for that. You need to be on guard against the ways that Satan particularly tempts you, or, he may tempt you in ways that are different than the way he tempts me, and to be ready and prepared to respond to those faithfully by resisting that temptation, putting your trust in Christ.
Mike McKinley, I can't think of a better way to wrap up our conversation on the power of Satan and the devil. He's real, but we need not fall prey to that prowling lion. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thank you, my friend.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.